Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
We're going to talk Spotsylvania schools, and we welcome to the program for the very first time the new school superintendent in Spotsylvania, Dr. Clint Mitchell. Dr. Mitchell, it is so good to meet you and have you come in this morning. Good morning.
Good morning, good morning. Thank you for having me.
You come from Colonial Beach, your latest stop, but as far as just your education journey, talk about that, and we'll start off there. And you've been to a number of been in a number of places. When did all this? When did you know that education was what you wanted to get involved with?
Well, I didn't know. I didn't go to school to become an educator. It's not what I wanted to do. I started off my career in college, just really wanted to go to law school. And then I had this vision in my head that I was going to be a lawyer. That's what I wanted to do until I met this professor at Brooklyn College during my senior year. And he said, hey, because I wanted to be like him. You know, he was a outstanding professor for my con law class, and he had his own law firm, and he was a professor. So I was like, I want to be like this guy. And then he said to me, well, if you wanted to teach, why don't you try teaching middle school? So I did. And so after that, I fell in love with it, and I never looked back. And so that's, and I started that journey in 1999, and here we are.
Here we are today. As far as one of the things a lot of people I think look at, will look at Colonial Beach and they'll say Spotsylvania is so much bigger, but you've been in a number of large school districts around here, Prince William and Fairfax come
yes.
right to mind.
Yeah, I have my entire career has really been with large districts. I taught in New York City public schools for about 3.5 years, and then I came to Virginia and I taught in Prince William. And of course, Prince William is the second largest in the state of Virginia after Fairfax. And then from there, after 15 years in Prince William, I went to Fairfax for 6 years. And I tell people all the time, you know, I went from the urban school district to the suburban to the rural school district, small size Colonial Beach, and then sort of like, you know, still a little bit rural, but a little bit suburban in terms of Spotsylvania a little bit.
Yep, no, all of those fit what you'll be dealing with all the various schools in Spotsylvania when you think about it.
That's correct, and I think that's the one thing about my background is that it's pretty diverse in terms of being in some large places, but also doing the same work in some small places. So that's been really good. So I'm looking forward to the opportunity to bring that experience right here to Spotsylvania County Public Schools, and then let's make some magic happen.
What drew you to Spotsylvania? Because we all know Spotsylvania's been in the news for some not some pleasant things over the last couple of years.
Well, here's the good news, right? The good news is I was already in the region.
Yeah.
As part of Colonial Beach, as part of Region 3. So I've gotten the opportunity to kind of get the experience, I guess, live and in color. You know, I saw all those things that were happening. I sat with the previous superintendent here and there in a few meetings. I had sat with my current deputy soup, Kelly Gimple, in meetings. And, you know, Kelly always had some good things to say about Spotsy. Always spoke very positively, despite of all the stuff in the news.
Yeah.
Kelly had nothing but good things to say about it. So when I had the opportunity to apply, I wasn't expecting it to be that early. I was hoping maybe a year or two or maybe 2 years from now it will be open and maybe I'll apply. But, you know, they say that you have to be ready when things happen. And while I was not expecting it, I had to be ready. So when it became open, I just applied. Because I just felt that one, all of the great things I'd heard from it, and I like challenges. You know, I think I've worked in a lot of Title I schools and very difficult schools. I worked in Colonial Beach where it was a little bit difficult with a board that was a little bit disjointed, and I said, well, I'll take on this challenge. So I'm looking forward to it.
Well, and you've come in with an enthusiasm.
Okay.
And just an enthusiasm and a plan, really, for what, you know, what needs to be done.
Yeah, yeah. I think, you know, so I go back when the job was first posted. I started this preparation way back in March in terms of trying to look at the data of Spotsylvania County Public Schools and trying to put together a 90-day plan if and when I do get an opportunity to interview. So when the opportunity came, I felt like I had a good roadmap of what I wanted to do and where I wanted to take the district.
So what is it? What are some of the highlights of that 90-day plan?
Well, thank you for asking. Well, let me go back and talk a little bit about what I told staff at convocation first, and then we'll talk about the plan. So what I told the staff during convocation is really trying to focus on really doing three things really well this year, and really trying to focus on that those three things. So one, it can become a standard practice in your classrooms or in the district at the end of the year, or we could work towards the course of the next 2 to 3 years. And so for me, I wanted to work on three things for myself. One, the biggest one is board governance. How do we work and trying to unify the board, trying to get the board together, and really trying to make sure that our vision and mission is on the same page so that the public know where we are going. Number two, I really wanted to work on really being actively involved in the community. So community relations, community engagement is a huge piece for me. And then the last part is really when I was interviewing and doing my research, I saw all of our high schools were what we call a level three in chronic absenteeism. And I wanted to make sure that we create a task force at each one of our schools to address the issue of chronic absenteeism. So those are my three big commitments that I'm going to have for the year. As for the 90-day plan, we have quite, it's pretty comprehensive in terms of the information that's in there. We have five major goals in it. We have three phases. The first phase is going to focus on what I called really engagement. To that end, we're going to have about 9 listening sessions to engage the community in our plan. Then, in addition to that, we are going to spend a little bit of time talking about exploration. How do we then take time to go to the district, each department, get a chance to get to know them, and eventually evaluation, where we're going to look at how do we plan for the next 5 years with a new strategic plan.
Well, this is a pretty comprehensive 90-day plan.
Yes, it is. It is. But I have people like Renee that's going to help me accomplish those goals. And so are the members of my cabinet. And of course, Renee is our director of communications and community engagement. So I'm looking forward to partnering with her to make sure that we are very successful in terms of launching and executing a 90-day plan.
When I talk about your enthusiasm and just the planning, you had to do a lot of that. First day of school, I think, was just you managed to visit every single school in Spotsylvania on the first day.
Yes.
It's an accomplishment there.
Yes, it is. You know, I tell people I had this audacious goal. And, you know, sometimes you think about it, you speak about it, but you don't know if you could execute it. And I remember, Mr. Kenny Forrest, who is our executive director in terms of operations, and we were going to Fleet Services, and he said, you know, maybe Fleet Services can put a plan together for you on how to go ahead and map it out. And they did. And of course, I give it to Renee, and I get to the office, and Renee was like, I don't know about that. I think we could move things around a little bit. So she did. And we were able to make it happen. We spent the morning and did some television interviews, and we hit the road about 7:15, 7:20. And I think we were done right about 3:45. And we still managed to take about a good 30-minute lunch in between that time. But it was amazing meeting so many of our administrators, some of our office personnel, some of our students. It was just an amazing journey. And I felt, at the end of the day, I felt really accomplished that we're able to execute it.
I was just going to say, I'm sure even though you knew Spotsylvania County Schools in new, to actually be in the school and have students and to see each different school and where they're at, had to be really enlightening.
It was, because our schools are so different. You know, we can go from one school on one end of the county
right.
to go to a different school in terms of size, demographics, you know, traveling to the more rural side of the county and getting a chance to see that was amazing. But ultimately, you know, what really makes our schools go and successful is really all about our staff, our administrators, yep. and just seeing them interact with students during that day was really, was pretty special.
Take a quick break. Dr. Mitchell, so good to have you here this morning. Dr.
Thank
Clint
you,
Mitchell,
thank you.
The school superintendent in Spotsylvania here this morning. Quick break, we'll be back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
News Talk 1230 WFVA, focused on Fredericksburg. Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230. You can weigh in about today's topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230 and by text at 540-371-5756. Here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Dr. Clint Mitchell is here this morning. The Spotsylvania school superintendent is here and just a few weeks into it.
Yeah.
And I'm sure for you, just to... You started August 1st, but just to get the kids back in school and to get things running had to be, at the end of last week, you had to just kind of take a sigh when you went home and said to your family, you know, we're 1 week into this.
Yes. You know, when I was a principal, I used to tell my teachers all the time, you know, our goal for the week is to make sure we get all the kids in safely, feed them, and get them back to home to their parents safely. I will tell you, as a superintendent, it doesn't change. My goal is to get all the kids, whether it's 1,000 kids or 24,000, get them to our campuses safely, make sure they are fed, and get them back home safely to their parents. And we were able to do that. We had an amazing week. I heard so many great things about transportation, just the efficiency of getting kids in and out. So we are really excited and looking forward to week number two with kids.
I know before everything got going, the leading up to school, there was a couple of weekends stuff the bus.
Yes.
And you were, before you even started, you were meeting the community and helping out with Stuff the Bus.
Yes. Those people who know me knows, as a leader, knows that community engagement is one of the most prized things that I like to be involved with. So when Renee told me about the opportunity to be able to attend the Stuff the Bus events for school supplies, from our community, from our business community, I was not going to miss that for two reasons. One, I wanted to make sure that, you know, I support Renee and her efforts. But most importantly, I wanted to interface with the community, get a chance to meet some families, meet some kids, and just really get a chance to be out there so people can see that I am out there doing the work with them. One thing I'll tell you about my leadership is I'm not going to ask anyone to do anything that I'm not going to do myself. And so being out there with the parents, with Renee, it was just amazing. And then I even took a couple of days just to come in the district and meet the new teachers and fleet services and transportation, the nurses, because it's important that I speak and meet with all employees, not just teachers. Because a lot of time we spend some time, we could get focused so much on the teachers, and we forget that the people that really makes our district work is our bus drivers, our food service workers, people from fleet services who are doing all the preparation, all the routes behind the scenes. They go unnoticed and people don't talk about them, and I want to make sure that, you know, we highlight their work and not just the teachers.
When my wife was a teacher, she would always tell me that the most important people in the building were the maintenance and the janitors.
Yes.
And get to know them, and they do so many things that are not seen.
That is true.
And everybody else gets credit a lot of times.
Yeah, and then they are the heartbeat of the school. And you're right, people don't give them the credit, but as a leader, I always try to make sure that I highlight their work and make sure that they're seen and that we've put as much fight for them, especially during budget season, as we would do for our teachers, because they really make our school division click.
Well, and in a time when education, when there's every school district working to try to recruit and to fill vacancies, for you to be that hands-on and to come before, you know, you've even started I think that says something about you, and I think people will notice that.
Yeah, I hope so, and that's just me, and that's not going to change. But you know, I felt that in order to get a really outstanding start in the district, that I had to start immersing myself in the district, and those opportunities gave me the chance to do that.
Yeah,
met some great parents during those events. So one or two of them even came to speak in terms of supporting me during the last school board meeting. So I was very pleased to get a chance to meet those parents, and they're excited. And they're excited with the energy, as you mentioned. They're excited about the fact that we have a roadmap for the future. And then, and like I told them, you know, I'm going to need their support to be successful because there'll be tough and difficult times. And I'm going to need their support as we navigate that.
I know there's renovations going on at Spotsylvania Middle, and I guess you've already gotten involved with that.
I last week Friday I did my second visit. So I went in with Mr. Forrest, got about an hour tour. Beautiful renovation. Super proud of all the construction workers from Taft Construction. They're doing an amazing job there. But really, it's neat to see how they're progressing and how they're going to phase kids in, hopefully in the new wing after Labor Day weekend. But I also took the steps last week. I met with Mr. Childress, who's on the Board of Supervisors. Yeah. And so he took a tour with me last week, Friday. So my goal is really to try to take any and all of the members of the Board of Supervisors to see the renovation, because I think it's important for them to see when they fund our schools and when they give money to our schools. I want them to see where the money is going, not just salaries, but I want them to see where the money is going in terms of our programs, in terms of our students, in terms of construction, and making it the best learning environment for kids.
And just the way growth is going, and the way in just the age and some of the buildings we're seeing in Stafford, eventually there's going to be the need for some new schools in Spotsylvania County.
Yeah, we had this conversation very loosely, Mr. Forrest and I. We have some schools that are overcrowded. We have some aging schools. I'm really excited about budget and finance. Mr. Phil Treya really working really hard to try to ensure that some of these projects are funded. But we have to have some really tough conversations over the next couple of years about with the Board of Supervisors and just the community in general. And how do we do this moving forward? How do we address the issue of overcrowding? How do we address the issue of aging schools? And and all of that is going to come down to funding and working closely with the Board of Supervisors to ensure that we have a good relationship with them and that they feel part of our school district. But most importantly, that they see long term that we have to plan for the future. And planning for the future means that we have to address, you know, our CIP needs.
When we come back from the break, we'll talk in the next half hour about the Board of Supervisors and funding, because I know that is a huge issue. One of the things with as you take a look at everything, one of the things that all school districts are looking at right now is just entry into schools.
Yeah.
And how that goes. I guess a fresh set of eyes coming in to look at that will be something I would think you'll probably look at.
Yes, in terms of safety, we've been looking at, you know, all of our schools, make sure that, you know, it's conducive to ensuring that as people walk in, they don't walk straight into our buildings for safety purposes, that they have a direct line to the office as opposed to the main building. So we'll be looking at that in terms of safety. We have some discussions, you know, around really, and I know, you know, the sheriff's department has been tremendous. That was one of the things that I was pleasantly surprised in our school district when I walked in, that we have a sheriff deputy at every single school in the district. I will tell you, that doesn't happen everywhere. You know, sometime in my last district, we fought really hard to make sure at least we had someone at the high school. Elementary does not. But to walk in and see that, it makes you to go back to the issue of safety, it makes sure that our schools, our parents feel that our kids are safe because there's someone here from law enforcement, from the sheriff's department that really is going to keep our kids safe. And then the other thing that we're doing too, we just launched a new tip line that's going to launch in September, that's going to allow us and parents and the community to be able to share information with us as well as share information with the sheriff's department. So we're always looking at safety. I have started to push the thinking of some of the members of the cabinet, hopefully talk to the board about how do we look at maybe whether it's for some grants or some budget funding, looking at some weapons detection system in our schools as we move forward, just to make sure that things are safe, not just for kids, but for the entire community.
One of the things, Dr. Mitchell, I would think coming in, and you have had no notes on this, You have named names, and you have names down already. Just a few weeks on the job, that is amazing. I mean, names for me are always a challenge, and you have done just terrific so far this morning.
Believe it or not, it's a challenge for me too. It's a challenge for me, but I tell people I never forget faces. I can go anywhere. It could be 20 years from now, and I remember a face. Names, a little bit more of a challenge, but I do believe as part of the work, you got to get to know people. You got to get them to know them, not just by the face, but by their names. And I'm doing my best to really try to remember as many folks as I can. And so far, so good. Thank you, though.
One of the things, it's been amazing that you can just recall, and you're not, you've got no notes on the names, and that's just that is just amazing. The fact, but I mean, COVID was tough on everybody, and to have gotten beyond that now, mm-hmm. for all, you have to feel good that we're back to the way. For the most part, that we were.
Yeah, for the most part, you know, even though we're not completely out of the woods and we're seeing an uptick in cases.
Yeah,
we're in a good place. And I think, you know, schools are back open, operating as normal. And we want to make our school as normal as possible. And we know there are some staff members and some students who may still wear a mask for their own safety. Yep. And we welcome that. And that's okay. We don't want to discriminate against folks for feeling that they need to keep themselves safe. But we are very happy that we are back to normal and just really trying to, what I call, you know, educate kids in brick and mortar. You know, there's nothing like it. You know, we learned a lot of lessons. Some good ones.
Yeah.
Some bad ones during COVID with online learning. But there's nothing like brick and mortar and having a teacher in front of a kid.
Dr. Clint Mitchell here, the school superintendent in Spotsylvania. Quick break. We'll continue on this morning on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It is almost 8:30.
From the Fredericksburg.today online news studios, this is News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station focused on Fredericksburg. This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Hear the show anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite podcast platform. And now, here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Dr. Clint Mitchell, and this morning, the new Spotsylvania School Superintendent. We are, again, Dr. Mitchell, it's an honor to get you this morning and to sit down and talk with you. It's an issue in Spotsylvania. It's an issue everywhere, just the ways between, you know, school boards and local government set up in Virginia. I'm sure you'll if you haven't yet, you've talked about meeting with at least one of the Board of Supervisors members, but because funding comes from the Board of Supervisors, and that's been an issue in Spotsylvania that I guess you'll have to address head on as you start planning a budget for next year.
Yes, that relationship is key. To make a school division operate at this maximum level. So I had an opportunity to attend my first Board of Supervisor meeting last week, got a chance to speak and introduce myself and just say a little bit about myself at the meeting. I've reached out to every single one of them to go ahead and tour the new Spotsy middle school renovation with me. I will continue to engage them in that way. It's my intent to attend as many of the meetings as possible so I can get to see how they govern, learn their style, and learn about their priorities, frankly. But on the school funding side, you know, we know the way it works is that, you know, as a school district, We have our local composite index, which then tells us how much money the state tells us we're going to get from our local government. And as you know, the local composite index for Spotsylvania has been changing over the years, yep, because we are building more, we are growing. And as we grow, as we build more, no new businesses, the LCI, changes. So when the LCI changes, then that means that, you know, it's even more critical to have that relationship with the local government, the board of supervisors, because we're going to need them to fund the school, because we're going to get less and less of the pie from the state level. So it's going to be critical to do that. So we're going to do a couple of things moving forward. One of the things as we plan the budget is I want to have either one-on-one meetings with the board of supervisor or two-by-twos with the board of supervisor and the board member for that district. And that way the two of them can interface and talk about their district, the things affecting them, what they would like to see as we plan moving forward, and along with myself and the finance team. And if I can allow myself to be able to do that pre-work with the board of supervisors and bring our priorities backed up with data, they have to be able to fund us, but they also want to know why. And it's important that we provide them the data so that way they can make some decisions about funding our schools. So it's, I believe it's critical. And I will tell you, it's not going to be because I'm not going to do the work, because I will do the work to build relationships in a very positive way to fund our schools.
Well, and I guess it's also so they don't have surprises. When budget time comes, when you put things out there, they'll know exactly why and what you're asking for.
Absolutely. And I think that's the reason why it's critical for the superintendent school board relationship should be in a very smooth and operative manner with that of the board of supervisors. That relationship is key. Regardless of what side of the political aisle we are on, there is one aisle we have to be. And that is the aisle of doing what's best for kids. Because here's the thing. Our kids are our future. We know that when they graduate, they come back home. They come back in our community. So we have to put the investment back in our kids. So that way our kids can then put the investment back in our community. So we could continue to grow, you know, as a community.
Well, and there are all kinds of statistics and things that are talked about in every locality about having strong schools helps attract businesses and helps the community.
Absolutely. One of the things I've heard quite a bit since I got here, I've heard many people say, hey, we used to be a district that was ranked, whatever number it was, a top-ranked district. And over the years, you know, we have seen our rankings just dropped across the state. So that tells me that people care about where we stand when you look at the 131 school district in the state of Virginia.
Yeah.
People care about the ranking. You know, I see on the news sometimes, you know, what happens in Falls Church. And, you know, my good friend and colleague there, Peter Noonan, is always posting, you know, they're the number one school district. Of course, who doesn't want to be part of a winner, right? Everybody does. Everybody wants to be part of the number one school district. So, but for us to do that, we have to invest in the district. We have to invest because we are competing with our neighbors a little bit up north, whether it's Stafford or Prince William or Fairfax. We are competing with salaries. We are competing just to make the job attractive. But it's not just about salaries, right? It's about a culture. Mm-hmm. It's about what kind of culture you're going to build in your district. And so for me, I tell people all the time, if we can't pay people the best salaries to stay and retain them, then the next best thing is, instead of allowing someone to leave for $5,000, maybe they'll stay because they love where they work. Maybe they'll stay because they love their leadership. Maybe they'll stay because they love the vision and where the school district is going. So for me, my job is to make sure that we keep that at the forefront to allow us to retain some folks, despite of the fact that we may have some budget challenges.
When we talk about the budget, it comes up and there'll be meetings and all that starts in January, but it doesn't start for you in January, because I'm sure right now you're already looking at what that budget's going to look
like.
Yeah,
the planning session already started.
Right.
So we already started doing that. I think we're going to have our first rollout of some, you know, in terms of the budget, you know, in early November. But September, October, we're doing all the pre-work. So it's really a cyclical process. I tell people always tell me, well, what do you do as a superintendent in the summertime? You know, you get a chance to go off? I said, no. That's the time we normally get to plan, because we got a chance to plan the new school year, opening schools. We got a chance to really start budget planning, close the fiscal year. So my folks in central office are pretty busy right now closing the fiscal year, but at the same time, starting the new fiscal year.
As far as shortages go, are you doing okay as far as teachers, bus drivers, that kind of thing? I mean, I live over by Chancellor High School, and I see there's the bus out front that has a pitch to recruiting, and everybody's looking for both bus drivers and teachers and paras.
So I will say this: I think we are much better in a much better place when it comes to our drivers. We have a few vacancies, not as many as we have in terms of our teaching vacancies. As of about 2 weeks ago, we had about 82 vacancies in terms of teaching vacancies. The board has worked really hard in terms of allowing us to hire some temporary teachers. But I'm having a meeting this week with my chief of HR, Amy Williams, and that meeting is going to focus solely on recruitment. I want to know what's the recruitment plan for the district, what they've done in the past, and I want to be able to tell them what I've done to recruit folks in a small district like Colonial Beach. And you have to think outside of the box. You know, I have had the pleasure of working on the state level, working very closely with Dr. Coons and the governor on the chronic absenteeism task force. And in that work, we've had a lot of conversation about we have to do something different in terms of not just attracting people, but the certification. And how do you get people certified? The process, being a little bit more expedient in terms of that process. So I have some ideas I'm going to bring to the district. We're going to have to really expand where we go. We're going to expand how often we go. And we're going to have to really think outside of the box to really staff this school division next year. So it starts with creating that culture, but it's going to end with really coming up with some solid ideas on how we're going to do that in the next couple of years.
We'll have to talk about absenteeism in the future, because you've got some experience in that. Has that gotten better, though? Has that issue, because, boy, after COVID and during COVID, that's been a huge, huge problem.
Yeah, I think it's a chronic absenteeism is something that is plaguing all school districts across the country.
Yeah.
I was watching, I think, CNN on Saturday, and there was a piece on school attendance. And the reality is that, we do have some parents who are still afraid to send kids to school because of the COVID period and what happened there. But here's the thing we have to remember. We spent for the better part of over 2 years telling parents, don't send your kids to school. Mm-hmm. Don't send your kids to school. They got a sniffle, they got a cough, they got a fever. Keep them home, right? And what happens is you get in a situation where sometimes it's more than one kid. So that parent who may have two or three kids, all the kids stay home, not just the one that's sick. So we now have to shift. And now we have to tell parents, well, bring the kids to school. Bring the kids to school. So how do we do that? So for us, we have a lot of things that we're doing. Our school district made some gains in chronic absenteeism. Some of our high schools made some gains. But the data is still not where it needs to be, which is the reason why I have tasked both of my executive directors, Mr. Alan Hicks for secondary, as well as Jen Baleko, who is our elementary executive director for schools, and as well as our deputy soup. I have asked them to make sure that it's a number one priority at every school to ensure they have a task force to include regular meetings, home visits, regular communication, because what we've learned is the robocalls don't work. We got to make and build relationship with parents so we can get kids to school. So I can go on and on and on about chronic absenteeism, but you know, that's going to be a topic for later in the future. Because I'll tell you, we are going to be doing some work on August 28th at our leadership meeting with all the principals. I'll be doing a presentation, which I've done throughout the state all summer. I've done probably about three sessions on chronic absenteeism. So I'll be more than happy to come and talk about that in a future talk.
When you first mentioned it, and I knew you had a little bit of a background on this, and I thought we'll do another show sometime and really focus in on that. As you've worked with the principals, it sounds like, boy, that you really rely on them and are leaning on them to to be able to help the whole turnaround with Spotsylvania County Schools.
Yeah, leadership matters. You know, it matters who you hire. It matters the people that you have working directly with staff and schools. I've had the opportunity so far to make one of my first biggest leadership decisions, and we've hired Dr. Frazier, who's the current principal of Chancellor Middle School. She'll be our chief academic officer. And later this week, we'll be going through the process of hiring a principal for her school. And so leadership matters. You have to hire the right people who fit your vision, that have the right mentality. And as I get to know my current principals, I'm looking forward to getting to know them. One of the things that I'm doing, and we already started to schedule those, my AA is scheduling a 30 to 45 minute sit down where I'll go to their schools on Wednesdays. So I do school visit Wednesdays, and I did that at my last district in Colonial Beach, and Wednesdays was my day in schools. I'm taking the same mindset in Spotsylvania. Wednesdays my day in schools, and my plan is to really meet with every single principal and every leader at our centers. And what I want them to know is, I don't just want a tour of the of your school. I want to know what makes your school special. And that's the question I'm going to ask them, is what makes your school special, and show me those things that make your school special. So if it's about your kids, well, let me see your kids, because I'm going to ask them questions, right? If it's about, you know, a specific program you are implementing, let me see it. But I really want to get a chance to get to know them, and for them to get to know me and my style, because I'll tell you one thing, what makes the district work is really the leadership and the people you hire. If you have terrible principals and principals who are not doing a great job leading your school, chances are it's going to affect everything from chronic absenteeism to test scores to the culture. And you and I both know, if the culture is bad and no one wants to be there, you just perpetuate even more of the same thing that we've seen, which is a massive exodus of people.
Yeah, definitely. And it's so interesting that you talk, because my kids all went through Spotsylvania County Schools, and each school was different. And there were various things that some were strong in, some were strong in other things, and it's each building is its own, has its own little culture.
Yeah, and that's a good thing. And that's a good thing, because you want your buildings to reflect your community's culture and the community and what they value and the things that they do. And every leader is different. And I think it's important that we allow them the flexibility to be able to be different. But with that, you know, we also got to keep and be mindful of organizational coherence, which is the idea of making sure that we also have the same expectations, that we are implementing the things that we have come in from central office. So when I spoke to the team, I talked about those things that matters most to me as a leader, what I call my core beliefs. And I have, you know, I work in threes, right? As you could see, three is a big thing for me. My three core beliefs, you know, one of them really focuses on, you know, this idea of what I call because nice matters. We got to be nice to people, right? Sure. Whether it's the school board, whether it's the community, whether it's our schools, whether it's the kids, we got to be nice. It goes a long way. I talked about organizational coherence being a key pillar for me, and that is the idea of that we got to speak the same language. I cannot go to school number A, school A, and go to school B, and they're saying completely two different things. That's a problem for me, and if that happens, we got to fix that, right? So leadership, when I meet with them, those are the things that we're going to talk about. So when we talk about chronic absenteeism and we talk about the fact that you have to have a plan, I can't have your plan be very different than what I expect. And the last one I tell people is learning and fun goes hand in hand. We got to have fun with the kids as we teach them, and we just got to have a good time, because you know, I get up every morning excited to go to work. I've been doing this for 24 years and my enthusiasm hasn't changed. People tell me all the time, man, you got the same energy you had when you were a teacher. And here's the deal. Kids deserve it.
Yeah.
The staff deserve it. So it hasn't changed. And I want people to understand that I want them to operate in the same way. Because if you get up in the morning and you drive to work and the kids and the teachers get the best of what you got, you're going to have a good day.
Well, I know now that any school that wants to give you a jersey or a uniform, they better put the number 3 on it. That's well, your number.
Well, 3 is good, but number 13 is my number. But
that's your number.
You know,
okay.
My number 13 is my number, but you know what? But that 3 is good too, because it's important that we go ahead and you know, and focus. Because here's the thing about the core 3. We don't want to give people too much at once.
Right.
I have been in districts where you have strategic plans that are 65 pages. There's no way in the world someone is going to remember the key pillars and the things that they need to do and be able to speak of it when you have 65 pages.
Yeah.
So to me, it's important to break things down in chunks for people. We could still accomplish those objectives in that 65 page. We don't have to do it all in 1 year. We could do it over time.
Dr. Clint Mitchell here, Spotsylvania School Superintendent. Quick break, and we'll wrap this up this morning on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Download the all-new News Talk 1230 WFVA app for Apple and Android. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. And now, here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Great stuff this morning with Dr. Clint Mitchell, the new school superintendent in Spotsylvania County. Listening sessions. There's going to be a number of those that people can participate in.
Yes, absolutely. So, you know, it's critical for us to get the voice of the community. And so one of the things that we wanted to make sure is that we provide each and every district the opportunity to be able to go ahead and hear from us. And so I'm starting my first listening session at the Lee Hill District at Lee Hill Elementary on August 27th from 6 to 7 p.m. That'll be our first one. And the goal here is really to give the community an opportunity to really answer, you know, 5 questions that I have in the 90-day plan. And one of the first questions is, what are the traditions and beliefs that you have about our school district? The strengths of our district will be the second one. And then we're going to talk about the challenges in the district, and probably the most critical last 2 questions are what must we absolutely keep, because there's some great things in our district. What do we need to keep because it's working well? And then the last one is really, we want to know of ideas and suggestions for improving our school district. So looking forward to it. And then we're going to conclude our last listening session on November 14th. We're going to have a community session at the John J. Wright Educational Center. And for the parents who can't and community members who cannot attend, we're going to do a virtual session on November 13th to give everyone an opportunity to participate in the process.
It's great for the community. It'll be good for you.
Absolutely, because I want to learn. Absolutely. I want to learn what people are thinking and what their mindsets are and how to move forward in the future.
And just how you've talked about having meetings and talking and having these listening sessions, it's not as though you're coming in and are saying, we're going to change everything.
No.
You want to hear from the community.
Yes, I think, you know, change has got to happen incrementally. Now, I do think sometimes there are times where you have to make a change immediately because it needs to happen. It's a safety.
Yeah.
And sometimes people want to implement that change. When we get through those processes, we'll make those. But right now it's about hearing from everyone and giving them a voice in the process. You're going to hear me talk about this all the time. We have to give people a voice in the process in our school district, and not just it coming from me, from the top, or my staff. We want to hear what people have to say.
It seems as though, as you've gone around, I mean, there's great great enthusiasm about you being here, your ideas, your background, and welcome to Spotsylvania.
Thank you. Yeah, I appreciate it. It's great to be here.
We only have 30 seconds to go, but I know the governor's looking at implementing a plan with cell phones, and I'm sure the district, I know the school board's talking about this.
Yeah,
too.
We're talking about it. We have until January to implement the plan, but the great thing is that our high schools are well underway. We do not allow cell phones during instructional time. We have some minor things to adjust as we move forward, but we are going to look at the governor's recommendation from the model policy, and then my hope is to bring a policy to the board in the next couple of months so we could adapt and make sure that we address elementary, middle, and, of course, high school.
Dr. Mitchell, it's great to have you in the community.
Thank you.
And
thank you.
I do really appreciate you coming in and talking about your vision. These are exciting times, I know, just for you personally and for Spotsylvania County Schools. And people, if you've got questions and you've got ideas, Get involved with these sessions.
Yeah, be at a session. You know, we have 9 schedule, so there's no reason why anyone should not be involved. Even if it's not in your district, and you want to come over to a different district on those days, please come and share your views.
Check the division website for all the details. Dr. Clint Mitchell, Spotsylvania School Superintendent, the first of many visits here, hopefully. And we'll talk again soon. Thank you so much, Dr. Mitchell.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you for listening. We'll see you in the morning.
The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. The Glenn Beck Program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA, focused on Fredericksburg.